Hello, and welcome to the Gameslate Podcast, episode 145. I'm Proteus.
I'm Assimilator.
And I'm Zelda Queen.
And we're here to talk about games, video gaming, geekdom.
And some anime.
And, no, we don't have a puzzler, do we?
What?
We don't have a puzzler.
No, we don't have a puzzler. Sorry. We are not in PR.
Anywho, I'm going to move on. Let's see. So, it looks like this week we have on our queue Bioshock Infinite, Adventure Time, Monster Hunter 3, Injustice, Gods Among Us, and some Facebook drama if you follow us on Facebook. So let's go ahead and start with... Let's start with Adventure Time, since it's the one of the few non-video game-related things.
Yeah, so if you know, if you haven't noticed recently, Netflix seems to have struck some sort of deal with Warner Brothers, who owns Cartoon Network, and all of a sudden they've released a whole bunch of their... at least first seasons of a whole bunch of... late 90s, early 2000s series... So we're looking at, like, Batman Beyond, Samurai Jack,
Justice League and Justice League Unlimited,
Ben 10,
Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends,
Ed, and Eddie. But the one that we were all like, oh, we should stop to watch was Adventure Time, because Proteus's brother has been telling us we have to watch it.
Well,
but
everyone I know on the internet has been like, for the last, you know, whatever, 6 years, it's like, Adventure Time!
No, it's only been, like, two. The first one came out in 2010.
Really?
Yeah.
How are there, like, six seasons?
Five seasons. Whatever. It's because they're not very long.
I guess that's true.
They're really short little things. They're only, like, 12-minute episodes, so they're really easy to watch. So we were like,
we'll,
okay.
We'll watch them in, like, 2 days.
Yeah.
Basically. It was, oh.
Mostly because I was under the weather, and so it made it kind of easy to surf. Lay there and say, okay, I can watch a few of these. It was highly amusing. It met expectations I didn't even know I had. It's, you know, I thought it was going to be like one of those way off the weird, like deep end sort of weird that it's just like, man, I'm not going to be able to get into this because it's going to be like this weird, weird humor that I'm just not going to find appealing. But no, it has some ground-based rules, the sort of things that it follows and such, and it makes sense. And it was funny, and entertaining, and imaginative. It's kind of like if a 12-year-old was stuck in a D&D world that was kind of nicer than, you know, dark and dreary. And also Bender's voice actor does Jake the Dog.
John DiMaggio. And there's been episodes where...
Mark Hamill's been in him.
Yeah, Mark Hamill's done some voices, George Takei did a voice for an episode, and then I forgot his name, but voice actor for SpongeBob was in another episode. And it's just, it's funny, those people with really distinct voices, just, you know, noticing them, like...
Oh, yeah, and Princess Bubblegum is the same voice actress who did Starfire.
Oh, yeah, that
Titans.
Was the other one that I was thinking of, yeah.
So, it's like, I don't know, I'm like, we're getting better at noticing voices!
Well, you're looking at them more.
Oh, and there's, like, it is easier to find out stuff now, too, from online, because they actually post it. But a lot of old stuff, they don't even give credit for the voice actors. And it's like, really? Really, guys? So, yeah, I don't know. If you haven't watched it and don't know if you, how you feel about it, if you have Netflix, just go. Watch it. It's 26 episodes, but they're 12 minutes each. So it doesn't take that long to watch them at all. And it's, you know, varying degrees of certain things, like the ice, like fighting the Ice King because he just likes to kidnap princesses, because one of these princesses, sometimes when he kidnaps him, will want to marry him. At least that's his hope. Princess Bubblegum, you know, and it's, you know, like the first episode just boom, kind of drops you in and you're like, what's going on and where are these characters? There's no introduction really to anybody. They just sort of show Finn and the Princess Bubblegum trying to make a...
To raise the dead.
Basically, but make them alive again, not reanimated dead. But it kind of goes awry.
And they, and they do end up as basically zombies.
Zombies, but they crave sugar. Well, everybody in the Candy Kingdom is made out of sugar. So they sequester everybody in the castle. Princess Bubblegum's like, you gotta not tell anybody. And Finn's like, why? Because if they freak out, sugar people explode. So they would die from fear, or they're going to die from a zombie attack. So Finn is trying to think of everything he can do to make sure they don't get scared and don't know the zombies are coming. But the pinnacle is when he basically blindfolds everybody, and he's like, okay,
there'll be lots of pinatas!
Because I'm hanging out the pinatas! They're all around you! And so here's all the zombies, like, crawling towards him, and everybody's blindfolded.
He's like,
so
okay, they start swinging!
So everybody's just smacking away at the undead, which they think are pinatas. Candy does come out of them, and then they start eating the candy, and that's just kind of like, this is a weird level of...
This is a whole new level of strange?
Yes!
I find the music really fun. The opening theme and the closing theme are fun to listen to.
Everything has like little smiley faces.
Marceline is hilarious.
Once you figure out what her character is all about. So yeah, it was amusing. I had a good time. I recommend watching it. So now we were looking up to see if we can buy the seasons. Supposedly there are at least 5 seasons. Maybe they're in season 6, maybe they're in season 5. I'm not 100% sure. I didn't go to the wiki or anything to look more closely. But I'm like, oh, maybe I could buy...
This is based on what's available for purchase on Amazon.
So we went to Amazon to look it up.
And you can only buy, like, the new stuff as downloads. There's only 2 seasons that have been released to DVD so far.
Well, and the second season hasn't come out yet. The first season came out July of last year. The second season is coming out June of this year. The only other thing they have are sort of like random episode collections, which one of them actually, if you buy it, comes with Finn's hat for you to wear. And that in itself apparently is a $20-$25, value, and you're only paying like between 15 and 20 bucks for the disc on Amazon, so it's like, that's not actually a bad deal. 5 seasons. Okay. And they're all 26 episode seasons.
Looks like it.
Yeah, the only sad thing is we're going to try to watch it online, because we're like, oh, cool. We'll watch it on Cartoon Network.
Only a couple episodes. It's like, oh, there's only 5 episodes up.
So we're like, well, now.
Please enter your cable credentials.
There's a lot of things that do that.
Damn you, Time Warner.
Yeah, so I'm like, nope, sorry. I like it, but I don't want to spend $100 on freaking cable. I pay $16 now. I get a whole bunch of stuff. And besides, there's a lot of stuff on cable I don't want to watch.
That's the problem with cable.
Anyway, on to the next topic.
Let's see. Next topic is... That's not the right page. I'll talk about BioShock Infinite. So it's been out a week and a half now. Yeah, that sounds about right. For those of you who are unfamiliar, BioShock Infinite is the next game by Ken Levine. It is not actually really a sequel of the original of the other BioShock games because it stands alone completely by itself. You don't need to have played the other BioShock games to understand what's going on or how this world works.
It just sort of takes place in the same universe or world, I guess.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. I can't even completely say that. And anybody who beats the game will know what I mean. Actually, halfway through the game, you'll have a hard time realizing what universe you're in anymore. Because one of Elizabeth's powers is to pull things through from different worlds.
Oh, jeez.
So there's actually plot points where you change what universe you're in.
Whee!
Yeah. So, but I mean, I enjoyed the game. It seems like you're the, with a few exceptions, it seems like you're the only person that uses they're not called tonics, they're not called plasmids, your special little ability things.
Like in the commercial?
Yeah, like, there's the one that, you know, they made kind of famous from their initial demos was the, Murder of Crows. Which basically, you shoot people with that, and a bunch of crows start attacking them, which distract them and cause them to take more damage when you shoot them with your regular weapons.
It literally is a murder of crows.
It is literally a murder of crows. And then there's also one where, you know, you throw a little firebomb, and that's the only one that somebody else I actually ever see using is a firebomb, is a guy that uses firebombs. In fact, he's the one where you initially get it from. Then there's one where, you know, you cause people to float, one where you literally ram people, one where you use water in order to push people, which is very handy considering you're in a floating city. Oh, you're near a ledge or something? Whoosh! 3 people off the ledge. There's a lightning one that allows you to absorb bullets and then throw them back as an explosive. Handy stuff. And then all this stuff is upgradable through, you can upgrade both the, I'm just going to call them tonics for lack of the proper word until I remember the correct one. And you can also upgrade the weapons. Now, your character can only carry two weapons at any one time, but he can carry all the different sorts of ammo. So if you run out of ammo for one weapon, just pick up another one. Most likely you'll have all the ammo you need. But when upgrading weapons, just upgrade your favorite ones that you find yourself carrying around the most often. That way, it helps you out longer throughout the game. And typically, you'll end up getting the ammo you need. One of the things that Elizabeth is really handy for when you're in combat after you get a hold of her, or save her as it may be, from the tower, is she will scrounge the battlefield while you're in combat for salts, which is what powers the plasmids, or the tonics, health, or weapons, or ammunition. So she'll, you know, call out to you to say she has it, you hit the X button, you turn around, grab it from her, and it immediately gets applied to you.
Hmm.
So it's very handy when in the middle of combat, like if you find yourself using the tonics a lot, she'll say, it's like, hey, salts! Catch, and then all of a sudden you can, and then you can use them more often. And that's kept me from dying a few times when she's thrown me health packs. And then she also, it's very strategic, she's also very strategic in use of the battlefield, because you'll go into an area, it's like, okay, she can pull that in, or that in, but she can only have one at a time.
Hmm.
So it's like, okay, let's pull in that thing there. Once it's dead, we'll pull in the cover, use the cover for a little bit, and then we'll be able to pull in that thing over there. And I've also used that also to keep me alive, because like, hey, health packs! But I really enjoyed the game. I thought it was a lot of fun. I don't want to talk too much about the story, because there are things throughout the game that actually hint at the end story, but I was still kind of thrown for a loop on how it actually ended. You never actually have a true boss battle as you expect it to happen. Like, you find out it's like, okay, so this person's my friend. No, she's a villain. I'm going to have a boss battle with her. No, she's offed. I'm going to have a boss battle with this guy. He's the ultimate villain, and he's offed. Okay, this thing, the songbird, the thing that everybody saw from the trailers, that thing that's like a big daddy. You're going to have a big boss battle with it. No, I'm not having a big boss battle with it. Okay. So they keep kind of throwing you for loops on what you expect for a boss battle, but it's a lot of fun. How they ended it, I didn't fully see it coming. Stuff in the past, in the previous parts of the game, make a lot of sense post-end. So I'm going to be writing a game over article that's going to spoil all that for y'all later, but at least I'm putting it away so you can't avoid it and not worry about it spoiling it for you listening to the podcast. We do have a review up on it that was done as a collaboration with the Advanced Gamer, where they got a 5 out of 5.
Yeah, I haven't seen at least all the commercials that they keep showing us on Hulu Plus is all like, awesome game!
It was a pretty good game. If you guys want, I think I have somebody loan it that wants to borrow it after I have it after the person currently borrowing it wants it, but I can loan it to you guys afterwards because I got it for the 360. If you guys are interested in playing it.
Oh, I feel so bad since we haven't replaced like anything. And now I'm kind of wanting a Wii U a little bit more now.
Well, hopefully.
Well, why is that, Zelda Queen?
Yes, why is that?
Okay, so my brother, Irish Pride, finally broke down and bought himself a Wii U specifically so he could buy Monster Hunter 3 Unlimited, which apparently is sort of a beefed up version of Monster Hunter Tri, I want to say. Please don't quote me on that. I'm not 100% sure. All I know is it's a bit of a remake. It got, you know, it got a little bit of, you know, veneer boost, and they added a lot more quests and monsters and items and all this sort of fun stuff. So he's like, okay, I'm going to buy a Wii U now since I want to play this game. So we bought it, and he's been having a ton of fun with it. He has, you know, not regretted his purchases at all. In fact, he's gotten 4 games already for his Wii U, and he hasn't even had it like a week. Because he got Nintendo Land with it. And then Monster Hunter, the Super Mario Brothers Wii U, and then he bought himself Legoland, or Lego City, Undercover. And he's like, he goes, okay, he goes, it's a Lego game, he goes, but it's actually a whole lot of fun for a Lego game. But I was over, so I got to see him play for about an hour with his character, and he just went to the forest to do a free-for-all, which is, most of the time when you hunt monsters, it's a quest, and it's a quest within a time limit. So you have to go find where the monster is, track it down, and kill it within the time limit. Otherwise, you fail the quest, and you don't get to reap the rewards, which is basically harvesting the monster critter for its juicy bits. So you can, you know, like, use it to construct better equipment for yourself. So the characters actually, I think, have a wide range of looks, because as you start getting more and more stuff, you can kind of mix and match as you're upgrading what your character looks like. And the characters are very well rendered. And the monsters are very well rendered. I will have to agree with them, though. The sort of landscape could have used a little bit more attention. It got, you know, some new texturing, it looks like, and such, but they're kind of bland. There's not a lot of, like, there's more detail that could have been put in, considering how detailed the characters and the monsters are. But I saw a battle, what is it?
It was like a lizard.
It was
coral lizard kind of thing.
It was a water lizard thing. It's this kind of yellow color, and its sides have like these sort of yellow sponges, and I think that's how it kind of floats through water easier, because he encountered it on the border of this water area in the zone. And there's no health bars on the monsters, so you have to go around and smack it. And as you start smacking it, over the course of time, you sort of see it start visibly giving you cues to what its damage is. Like, it starts looking more like beat up. Like, it had like these crazy sort of like crystal horns on the top of its head that started breaking off after he was battling it for a while. Then the sponge things kind of got destroyed a bit. And then it started really like panting heavily. And some of its attack patterns even changed the more wounded that it got. It started doing its little death roll thing a lot, and this like spinning attack, but eventually killed it one shot more in the water, because it kept going underwater. And fighting underwater, you think it's hard enough fighting some of those things on land? Doing it underwater is even harder, because you have X, Y, and the Z factor going on. Mm-hmm. Then so sometimes I'm like, you're not close enough, biff. Mostly because he was using the great sword's powerful, but it is heck slow. So, it looked really fun. I've been always wanting to try Monster Hunter, but never got around to actually buying the game at all. So I'm like, man, maybe I should buy a Wii U. I mean, I still have to replace my Wii, and I've been kind of, you know, itching to play certain things. I'm like, man, I might just have to break down and buy one now.
It's funny, because I have no need to play through Skyward Sword, because I basically just watched you the whole time. So I'm like, whatever. I basically had the game experience in a way.
Yeah, I've had that too before as well. Like, Metal Gear Solid, I never really played it, but I know everything in that game because I helped my brother through it, because I could remember where to go. I was very good with directions and maps. But it looked fun. It was just the crafting. There's like 22 pages worth of like crafting stuff that you can eventually discover.
Impressive.
And he's like showing me his like treasure box that is like a store item container in his house. Oh my gosh. Page after page of stuff. The only thing that's kind of hard is the fact that it uses little pictorial symbols for everything. And there's slightly different colors and stuff. So you have to go through and figure it out what's what. At least it tells you when you're, on the icon. The other thing that was interesting is that the village that's sort of like your base, you can start expanding it and growing it out, which actually helps you because you can get resources from the village. So, like, the farmer can grow plants and such for you that you can use in turn to make your potions and antidotes and tonics and such. You can send out vessels to go explore for you eventually. So, fishing boats will bring you back fish and such, which, again, you can helps you with, like, your stamina and other things, but also they can bring back spoils. So they can find you rare items, too, that you might not be able to find by killing and harvesting monsters. And I forget what some of the other stuff.
Mining, maybe?
There's a forge. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, when you're out and about in the world, it's kind of like WoW and Guild Wars and other things where there's actually hubs for you to, like, harvest honey from, or herbs, or mining and such, also to gain materials to upgrade your equipment as well. Because basically, you need better equipment to face bigger and nastier baddies. But it looked, I enjoyed, you know, watching a little bit that he played of it for me, and I'm like, this, you know, might get me to, you know, buy one. In fact, he was all like, look, I have a comment that got all these responses, because I'm like, he basically comments saying, I purposely bought a Wii U just so I could play this game. And there was a lot of other people who were like, yeah, we kind of did that too.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, he keeps pestering me now for us to get one because it has multiplayer. Up to 4 people can play and battle monsters together through the online such. I'm like, maybe. Because maybe then we could have a, you know, sort of party, you know, dynamic going on where some people could probably be long-ranged. So my brother says that the long-range weapons, at least he has a bit of a, you know, he's like, some of them, he goes, I just have a hard time getting them to work as well as they can.
Okay.
So, yeah, I will stop talking now about Monster Hunter.
It sounds like it's a lot of fun. I know Irish Pride has placed the review up on the site for everybody to read. And looks like he gave it a...
You gave it 5 out of 5.
5 out of 5. We've had a lot of high scores, high ratings lately. People, honestly, were not just playing the games that are absolutely awesome and giving them high ratings. But since we typically spend our own money on buying the games, we don't purposely also go out and buy crap games.
There's certain things I'm just like, man, I wish I had more money or more time. Because half the time I'm like, ooh, I want to buy these games. And then something happens in the house and I'm like, grown-up responsibility. Aww.
So I'm going to go ahead and move on to talk about, I played a little bit of the Injustice Gods Among Us demo, which is the DC superhero / supervillain fighting game that's done by the same people that did the most recent Mortal Kombat game. And one of their big things that they have is interactive backgrounds. For example, there's only one level to fight in the demo, and it's Gotham City. So... if you're on the rooftops, one of the things you can do is you can kick the enemy into a helicopter that's flying in the background, and then they'll bounce back. If you're one of the characters with super strength, there is a air conditioner that you can pick up and throw at your foe. I think Batman probably... I didn't try this with Batman, but he'll probably use his bat grapple to grab it and then swing it and throw it into somebody. And then you can also do the same thing with the bat signal. There is a water tower you can throw down on people. And if you do it just right, you can punch them through a wall on the far right side. They'll get stuck in the wall. Then a wrecking ball hits them. They fall down onto a train tracks, get hit by a train, which then ends up going off the rails, through a sign, through a wall, and then to the street level where you'll continue fighting. And on that street level, there is a dumpster, which Batman just kind of grabs it, swings it around, and throws it at somebody so it can be reused. Or one of the characters' super strength just pick it up and throw it at the person. And then there is a tanker truck, which Batman picks up a barrel and throws it. Somebody with super strength punches a hole in it, which a stream comes out of it that knocks your foe that's close to you down. And then they also have super moves, which I never figured out how to do properly. The computer pulled one off, but I never figured out how to do them properly.
Is this like PC or console?
Console. I think it comes out in the next week or so. Let me double check that. 4/16. So it comes out...
Following week.
Tuesday. Yeah, it comes out next Tuesday. So, I mean, it looks fun. I'll probably at least rent it to give a full run because the demo only had Batman, Wonder Woman, and Lex Luthor to actually play. And then when you played through it single player, you played each of those three, and then the final boss was Doomsday. So I'm kind of curious to see how that all works. Irish Pride was a little curious how well it's going to be on the Wii U. So it'll be good. It'll be fun to see. Then let's see, and that's all about I have to say on that. So you want to go into our Facebook drama, and then we'll talk about our most recent convention that we're going to be covering?
Yeah, let's not talk too much about it. It's just basically, it's like, please stop and think.
Yeah, basically.
If someone posts an article about a thing you shouldn't do, you shouldn't then comment and do exactly that thing.
Yeah, basically, what it was, for those who don't follow us on Facebook at all, is I shared a link from Denver Comic Con about... respecting female cosplayers, and that's even come to mean also respecting male cosplayers because sometimes they get the same sort of reaction, the same sort of negative attention they don't want. And I was basically talking about saying how costumes do not equal consent.
Yeah, so just treat people with respect. That's all we gotta ask.
Yeah. if you really want to see the whole, see this entire thing, which I'm not going to get into here, I posted a link to the Facebook post on the notes for the page. And yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get into it further than that because I don't really want to waste that much time on that.
Yeah, it's been dealt with. It's done.
So I'm going to move into the Rocky Mountain Pinball Showdown and Game Room Expo. It is April 26th to April 28th at the Sheraton Denver Tech Center Hotel. Hey, free parking. That's always a cool thing.
Free parking admission. $20 per day per adult.
Or $50 for a 3-day pass. Basically what it is that there's going to be 125 pinball and arcade and a classic arcade machine set on free play for the weekend. And there's going to be several tournaments and stuff here, and it looks like they are also going to have some guests talking, which I don't know who they are off the top of my head. But we're going to go down there, we're going to cover it, take pictures, and so on and so forth, our normal kind of arcade routine. But, you know, if you like the classic games, I would highly suggest you go down there because you're probably not going to find that big a collection of arcades and old pinball machines that don't cost you $2 each in order to play them.
Yeah.
That might be an exaggeration, but it seems close.
Well, it's one of those things, like, nobody outside of Colorado or at least the Denver metro area is even going to get this. Do you guys remember when Biggs had the arcade?
Time out, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I remember when we were younger. My dad always took time off. My brother and I had spring break and would take us places. Usually we'd go like to the zoo or the museum, but he would take us there too. One of the things he would do is we'd do the putt-putt golf that was there, but also the arcade. It was like just fun because normally we never got to go play at the arcade. We just played at home on our game systems. And so it was always fun because, I don't know, I always was so mesmerized by doing pinball on an actual machine. It just, I don't know. I always found it was fun. Even if I sucked at it, it was always fun. And it's really cool that they're doing this. I just wonder, well, I guess if they're having, like, a lot of, you know, machines, then it won't be such a big deal.
So, yeah, as I said, you're looking at 125 machines. They're expecting about 2,000 people over a 3-day weekend. And there's a lot of different tournaments.
Yeah, I guess that's one of the things for, like, tournament. I can't do a tournament.
Pinball tournament, electromechanical tournament, classic solid state tournament, classic electromechanical tournament, parent kid tournament, team tournament, quick draw tournament, open tournament, kids tournament, women's tournament, and then there's tournament rules below that.
I like that they have, like, kid parent tournament.
Yep, it's a single elimination bracket, Sunday 11 a.m., $5 per parent kid team, kids 12 and under only, trophy awarded to first place team. And then the kids tournament is actually free. Single elimination bracket, Saturday, 2 p.m., free, share your love of pinball with your kids, 12 and under. Trophies awarded to first place, second place, and third places.
And there's a women's tournament.
And then looks like there's also going to be some movie screenings. Let's see, current show pin chat host, so it looks like there's going to be some, whatever pin chat is, I need to look that up. I feel behind now.
P3 is a revolutionary multi-game pinball platform designed specifically for consumers. It supports hundreds of completely different game apps, each providing a unique gaming experience and offering something for everybody.
So I'm looking forward to this. I think it could be a lot of fun. So as I said, we're going to be there, and again, it is on April 26th to 28th at the Sheraton in the Denver Tech Center. Hopefully we'll see you guys there.
Yeah, and like, they have long hours.
11 a.m. to midnight, 9 a.m. to midnight, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. So, yeah. Oh, they have a nice list of all the machines.
I'm going to say they're probably going to have more than that, because it's very... Yeah, it's
not 125. 25. Anywho, but yeah. Point is, head down there. Looks like it'll be a lot of fun. And where are you? And the only other place you're going to get to be able to play this many types of this games is the 1-Up and 2-Up bars in downtown. And there you have to pay for per machine. And I think that's where we're going to go ahead and call it for the day. Feel free to visit us at our website, thegameslave.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, or we even have a Google Plus page. Not that anybody uses Google Plus often. In the meantime, questions, comments, complaints, rants, mail at thegameslave.com. And game on!
Game on!
Game on!